grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one we follow. Amen. Our text today for our sermon is the gospel reading from Luke 13. Let us pray as we consider the word of God today. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit, and may your Holy Spirit ever open our ears and open our minds and open our hearts, that we would gladly, with faith, receive your word and repent and trust you and follow you all our days. We pray for the power of your Holy Spirit always as we hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why? Why, God, why? That is a fairly common question we ask as Christians living in an evil world. Why, God, why? Why does the plane crash and kill a lot of people? And why that plane and not that plane over there? And why does the madman take a gun and shoot a lot of people? Why does that happen? These poor, innocent people. And why cancer that strikes people, especially young people that are sick? Why, God, why? Well, today I'm going to disappoint you maybe a little bit. I'm not going to try to answer the question of why. That could be another sermon. But answer a more important question of what? What is God really teaching us through bad things, tragedies? What's God trying to teach us and get in our hearts? That's the real question. In the gospel lesson today from Luke 13, you notice that Jesus refers to two tragedies of that day that would make the news of that day. It is brought up to him how Pontius Pilate, we know who he is, don't we? He had killed some Galileans who had come down to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices, and he murdered them, a tragedy, right there around the temple, maybe in the temple. Why, God, why? And then the other tragedy of a tower, the tower in Siloam that fell and killed 18 people there in the Jerusalem area. Why, God, why? Especially here around Jerusalem, the holy city. These things aren't supposed to happen. Two tragedies of that day, they would be newsworthy. And yet notice Jesus doesn't get into the why. He rather teaches the what. What are you to learn from this, dear people? And there are three things I pray we learn, because the Lord knows we live in a day and age of many tragedies, many bad things that happen that make no sense at all in this world. And maybe it's always been that way. We just didn't have the news that covered it so much. Tragedies, bad things, they happen to Christians, non-Christians, everybody. What are we to learn? Our topic specifically is, when bad things happen to other people, not just us, me, but to other people, what am I to learn? Three things. First of all, when bad things happen to others, don't compare yourself to them and think you're better. And that's why God spared you. And it appears the Jews talking to Jesus here were doing exactly that. They were comparing themselves and thinking they were better because it didn't happen to them. And that's why Jesus two times asked the question, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than you because they suffered this way? They weren't worse sinners. Don't think you're better and compare yourself and think that somehow you deserve to be spared. And then about the tower. Do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No. Don't compare yourself and think you're better. Just what? Just repent. Just this past week, we've again had a couple bad things that have happened. I turned on the news early this week, and some late February, 30 tornadoes that ripped through from where, Louisiana, up to Virginia, Pennsylvania. 30-some tornadoes. But as far as I know, none of them hit Knoxville, so we're better, aren't we? God really loves Knoxville, doesn't he? Right? Wrong. Just repent. We deserve death. We deserve damnation. We're no better. And then, sadly, you probably heard of the madman out in Kansas, I think it was, that again took his gun and shot people there in the factory. Seems like it happens every week. But that happened in Kansas, not in Knoxville. So Tennessee and Knoxville, we're better than Kansas, aren't we? Right? Wrong. Just repent and be humble. we're no better. We're sinners deserving worse than a tower falling on us. We deserve death and damnation in hell. Repent. You know, you've played a little basketball, so have I. And I know this is more of a football city than a basketball city. But if you shoot a three-pointer and it's an air ball, you get how many points, kids? Zero. If you shoot a three-pointer and hits the front of the rim and bounces off, how many points do you get, kids? Zero. If you shoot a three-pointer, it hits the back of the rim and the front of the rim, but goes out, how many points do you get? Zero. If you shoot a three-pointer and it goes way, way down in the basket, twirls around, and comes back out, how many points do you get? Zero. But I was a lot closer than the guy that shot the air ball. You still get how many points? Zero. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, even if you think you've done a little better than the other guy. You got a little closer. 0 points. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, not even one, except that one being who? Jesus. When bad things happen to other people, don't compare yourself and think you're better. Just repent. Confess your sins. Cling to the cross of Jesus. Trust His mercy, His righteousness, His death, His resurrection. Repent. Lesson number two, when bad things happen to other people, don't become complacent and think it'll never happen to you. An obvious major lesson of tragedies and bad things is that we live in a very evil world where it's very unpredictable sometimes what's going to happen. And therefore, we all have to be ready to die. And that's pretty blunt, but that's life. Are you ready to die and face your judge? And are your youth ready to die and face their judge? And are the children, are our dear children, ready to die and face their judge? Don't become complacent and say, it'll never happen to me. The tower will never fall on me. The madman will never come in and kill me. It'll never happen. The tornado won't hit. The earthquake won't hit. It'll never happen. I'll live forever. I'll live a nice long life. And I'll get ready when I'm later in my life when I'm 70, 80 years old. Don't become lazy and complacent. Be ready. I ask people a lot. It's a good thing to ask now and then because it gets right to the point. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And are you sure? And just how sure are you? God wants you to be sure. He wants you to have that confidence. Are you? And then if you stood before God and God said, why should I let you in? You did blank, 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 blank. What would you say? You know the right answer? God wants you to be sure. And your confidence is in the merits of Jesus. I plead the merits of Jesus. Not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus who lived for me, died for me, rose again for me. And by the righteousness of Jesus, O Father, allow me through the pearly gates. Are you ready? I've told you folks before that we have a ping pong table at home. And there's the continuing ping pong saga in our home, Pat. And we've played for months now, and Anne, my beloved wife, and I will play, maybe two or three nights an evening, a week, and play a couple games. And way back a few months ago, I beat her about 21-4. And the 4 points she got was purely out of my mercy for my wife. And then a little later, it got to be 21-7. And then a little later, 21-9. I think you know where this is going, don't you? And then she broke double figures. It's 21-11. And she's kind of bragging. She's talking a little trash to her husband. I wonder where she learned that from. And then it got to be 21-14. And you'll never, ever guess what happened this past week. My beloved defeated me. And I know, kids, that I'm your hero athletically, but Pastor did get beat. My wife defeated me. How can it happen, Pastor? You got beat in ping pong. How can it ever happen? You never lose, Pastor. Well, I got lazy. I thought I could watch TV and beat her while I watched the ball game. I thought I could play left-handed and defeat her. I thought I could wear a blindfold and beat her, just listening to where the ball hit. And when you get a little lazy, a little complacent, you lose. And that's just ping pong. Are you lazy, Christian? Are you lazy? Pastor, I work 50 hours a week. You don't know how hard I work. Are you lazy, Christian? You teaching your children to be lazy Christians. Just don't get around to church a whole lot. Never pray really, rarely. Never really have a devotion. Don't go to Bible class. Don't send the kids to Sunday school. Don't do a whole lot of, whenever it works in our schedule, we do it, but not a whole lot. Are you getting lazy, Christian? Are you ready? Tragedies are right there. God is saying through these bad things, don't become complacent and think it'll never happen to you. We will all die. That will happen, and we'll face the judge. And then lesson number 3. When bad things happen to others, do, Christian, do always count on the mercy and love of God in Christ to sustain us and help us and overcome. God turns all bad things into good things in the end. All tragedies He turns into triumph. Easter is coming. When tragedies turn to triumph, bads turn to good, Christ rises. It's coming. And trust in the mercy and love of God in Christ. There's a lot of law in these readings, a lot of heavy law that hits us, and we must repent and humble ourselves. But oh, there's wonderful gospel. Jesus says twice, if you do not repent, you too will perish. We'll take that in a positive way. If you do repent, you will not perish. You will live. If God works in you a contrite heart and leads you to faith in Christ, your Savior, you live. You will not perish eternally. You will live forever in heaven. So rejoice. There is salvation for all of us. You have some great foreshadowing here. Two tragedies mentioned have a lot of foreshadowing. You have Pontius Pilate killing Galileans while they're offering a sacrifice. Does that ring a bell of what will happen? Christ is predicting a greater tragedy of one Galilean whom Pilate will kill and make him the sacrifice for the world. And who is that one Galilean that Pilate will kill? His name is Jesus. And that'll look like a tragedy. But it is not a tragedy. It's triumph. Our sins are taken away and we are forgiven of all of them. And a tower falls and kills 18 people, foreshadowing of a greater tower, the tower of God's wrath, the tower of God's anger, the tower of God's judgment that will fall, but it will not fall on 18. It will not fall on 36. It'll fall on one person, and that one person upon whom it falls, and he pushes this out of the way, that one person's name is Jesus. The tower of wrath lands on him. The tower of anger lands on him. He pushes us out of the way. And he takes it all upon himself. That we are free. We escape. We're at peace with God. We're redeemed. Good news here. Looks like a tragedy. But it's not. It's triumph. Good conquers evil. Sin's forgiven. And salvation. He tells the parable of this poor little fig tree. And the fig tree doesn't bear fruit for 3 years. Now, I have enough common sense, kind of, that if a tree doesn't make anything for 3 years, what do you do with it? It is dead. It's deader than a doornail, as they say. The thing's not going to make fruit. But what does God say in the parable? Give it one more year, and I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I'll nurture it, dig some ground around it, throw manure on it, take care of it, and it'll produce fruit. You see, God specializes in taking that which is dead and making it alive. That it bear fruit. And that's you and I. And the fig tree can represent Jesus too. He would be dead for 3 days. Bearing no fruit. But on the third day. He would rise. And now we enjoy the wonderful fruit. Of his righteousness and holiness here in church, don't we? One little fig tree, friends. And this guy has a whole vineyard. He has other fig trees. He has grapes. Forget about that one little fig tree. Move on. Cut it down. It's wasting space. You and I are that one little fig tree. Who cares about me? God's going to cut me down. He doesn't love me. I'm not making fruit. God says, give you another year. Another month. Another day of grace called this day, February 28, 2016. Another day of grace. where he nurtures us and forgives us, gives us his word, the sacrament. When you hear the pastor say, your sins are forgiven, we say what? Amen, it is true. I believe it. Never take it for granted. Another day of grace. And after the sermon, I say, the peace of God which transcends all human understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ. And you say, amen, I'm at peace with God. God does not judge me. He judged Jesus. I'm forgiven. Amen. Another day of grace. And you partake of communion, the body and blood of Christ for forgiveness. And we say, I say, depart in peace. And you say what? Amen. It is true. I believe it. I'll never take it for granted. Another day of grace. And may we never fall asleep and just take it for granted. The mercy and compassion and patience of God for sinners, for you and I. Read of a true story or heard of a woman out in the state of Washington this past week or so, who was eating at a restaurant, seafood, and she bit into something hard, and she knew it wasn't supposed to be part of the meal, and it wasn't a shell. So she took it home and had it examined. What is this that I bit into? And guess what it was? A rare pearl worth over $600. Who wants to go to that restaurant? Well, that restaurant, dear friends, is called the Christian Church. People say it was lucky. Once in a lifetime, being lucky to get a pearl at a restaurant. You're lucky. Here in the church, it's called love. God gives us the pearl of great price, the priceless pearl named Jesus. He is the pearl. And we get that pearl every Sunday, every Wednesday, as we hear, as we eat and drink. And we are rich. We are rich with the pearl, Jesus, rich in forgiveness. Rich in righteousness, rich in heaven, eternal life, the resurrection of our bodies. We are rich, rich people. And come get that pearl. It's not lucky every once in a while. It's love all the time in the church. Do we realize it? So when bad things happen to other people, tragedies, this, that, and the other thing, what's going to happen this week? Here, Christian, don't compare yourself and think you're better. Just repent. And don't become complacent and say, it'll never happen to me. Just be ready and repent. And do count on the mercy and love and forgiveness of God that overcomes all bad things, overcomes all tragedies. Easter's coming. There's triumph. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.